Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free.
Welcome everyone. And I just recently wrote an article which appears in the America Out Loud blog. All of my articles you can find on KarenShone.com. And I asked several questions. And one of the questions that I asked was about solar panels. And I wanted to know if they taste like chicken and how many calories are they? And can they work with a keto diet? Are they gluten-free? Can we even digest them? Could I deep fry them? Could I put one in the barbecue or even in the air fryer? Are there any good recipes? Or what do we do? Now, why am I asking those ridiculous questions, you might say? As I drove down the Florida highway this past week as I was on the road, where I used to see fields of corn and cotton and peanuts and a multitude of row crops, I now see solar panels. So as we have no food, what are we expected to eat? This is Karen Schoen, and you're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And folks, we are going to be in a world of hurt coming soon, shortly, to an area near you if we don't prepare. And shame on us if we don't. We have to know what they're going to do by now. And part of the problem is that each time we think we learn something, they change the words. They change the definition so that after a while, you don't even know what you're talking about anymore because it's totally not what you started out. Just like the NIH is going to be changing the definition of the gain of function type vaccines or drugs or anything that has to do with funding that. They're going to just change the definition. So this way, Fauci didn't commit a crime. Hope everybody sees the way this works. We have a wonderful show, and I'm going to get right to our guests because it's very exciting to have them with me. We have Chris Wright, who is always a pleasure to talk to and so knowledgeable. And Chris, welcome and thank you so much. And I'll let you tell everybody where they can find you because you have some new things.
Thank you, Karen. Thanks for having us back. Your listeners can find us at the Anti-Communism Action Team. That's on the web at spiderandthefly.com with hyphens between the words, spider, hyphen, and, etc. We have a free newsletter, weekly roundup of anti-communism news. We have a speakers bureau. We have survivors of communism from various countries. We also have subject matter experts. You're going to hear from one tonight. And it's all free. There are no speaker fees, and we'll present anywhere by way of video conferencing. Now, the speaker we have tonight, his name is Jim Simpson. His latest book is Who Was Karl Marx? And we're going to hear from him about his book in the Rogues Gallery of Communist Theorists throughout the last couple of centuries. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Jim. He is an investigative journalist and author also of another book that made a very big splash. It's called The Red-Green Axis. He is a former economist for the White House Office of Management and Budget, OMB. He was featured in the documentaries The Enemies Within, An Agenda, Grinding America Down by Trevor Loudon and Curtis Bowers. He's written for numerous publications, including The Daily Caller, Epoch Times, and The Washington Times. And his latest book, as I mentioned, is Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. And with that, I'll let Jim take it away. And Jim, please tell us about your book.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot. Thanks for that very flattering introduction. I really appreciate that. Well, You know, I have studied communism, communist tactics, strategies, intelligence issues for over 30 years. And I first got interested in this as an economist when I was learning and then teaching economics at the University of Delaware. It fascinated me that there was this just unbelievable attachment to the ideas of socialism and communism. You know, at that time, we were fighting the El Salvadoran Civil War. We had helped or tried to help the Nicaraguan Contras beat the communist Sandinistas in Nicaragua. There had been a decades-long, and actually was still going on, civil war in Guatemala. All of these were financed by Fidel Castro and organized by Castro. But what captures so many people about this ideology that has murdered more people in times of peace than all the wars of history combined? And so I did a deep dive, and that was in 1987. And one of the books I read was The Great Terror by Robert Conquest. It's a classic. And I realized I had gone through all these other things, and I was going through that, and it just struck me that what's happening in the United States and what was happening even then was a communist infiltration of our institutions of culture to take it over and seize us. It was an asymmetric form of warfare, a military offensive, using the institutions of the levers of our culture, our media, Hollywood, universities, to overthrow our nation. And I'll tell you, when I realized that, I didn't sleep for 3 days. I did not sleep for 3 days. And so I kept on, you know, keeping up with that research of mine. But of course, I had to make a living. So I got a job in D.C. working for the Office of Management and Budget. And I later left there and started a business. But after 9/11, I decided I really needed to discuss what I had discovered and what I already knew about what was going on. So I fairly quickly got a following writing for my own blog and then other online publications. And, you know, finally that gradually evolved into, you know, what it is now, which is basically a career in writing and speaking and trying to warn and tell the American people about what it is we face. And so this year, with all of the things going on, you know, as soon as Donald Trump was elected, the left really came out of the woodwork to show themselves for who and what they were. I mean, we had 4 years of just constant vilification. We had 4 years of all kinds of radical things going on, you know, within the bureaucracy that was ostensibly supposed to be led by the commander-in-chief, President Trump, and the hashtag resist became very familiar to everybody. And so I knew that these people recognized Donald Trump as a direct threat to their agenda, which they almost completed with Barack Obama and would have completed had Hillary Clinton won in 2016. If Hillary Clinton won in 2016, we would not have a country today. And so then once again in 2020, they pulled out all the stops to win the election using a person who was really not completely there in his mind, but he has also always been, most people don't realize it, he has always been a radical leftist. He was elected first to the U.S. Senate with help from a little known organization that The leader of that organization was a guy named Leo Szilard, and he was a scientist working on the Manhattan Project, the atomic bomb program, but he was also one of the Soviet Union's best sources for our information. In other words, he was a traitor. And he started this organization called Council for a Livable World. And that organization propped up and promoted people who would carry out the radical left's agenda. And while Joe Biden presents himself as a working man's politician, he's not at all. He is nothing of the sort. And so he is perfectly happy to go totally off the rails and let the hard left do whatever they want. He has appointed actual communists in various high-level posts in the government, and they are continuing to pull out all the stops to try to transform this country successfully before the next election, and especially, well, before 2022, and if not that, 2024. So we will have really no recourse. There will not be any free and fair elections if they have their way after that. And so I felt it was critical to write this book, and it was actually the culmination of 3 years of research. And it was part of a larger work that I did that was not published. And so I took some of that information and then built it into the book that we have today, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left. And it tells the whole story, starting with Marx, who was absolutely nothing like he's made out to be by the left. They consider him a secular god. The man was petty, greedy, selfish, megalomaniacally egotistical, and proud. He was a lecher. He spied on his communist friends for the German government. It just goes on and on. Two of his daughters committed suicide. A son-in-law committed suicide. Three of his children died of malnutrition. And while his wife was running around trying to raise enough money to buy a coffin for one of their children, he hired what one writer called a loutish, libidinous, and otherwise useless secretary because a man of his stature had to keep up appearances. This was the kind of person he was. He was a greedy, selfish, parasitic slob. He hovered over ailing relatives waiting for them to die so he could find out what he would get in their will. His father was a wealthy attorney who showered him with money, but he ran through that almost immediately and spent the rest of his life depending on inheritances from relatives and petty cash from his friend Friedrich Engels' father's business that Engels stole to send to Marx so he could keep on going. Marx fathered a child through his maid and then accused Engels of being the one to do it. And Engels raised the child as his own and only admitted that it was Marx's on his deathbed. So this is the kind of person that all of this garbage is based on. And what kind of ideas, what kind of fantasies come out of the mind of somebody like that? Well, first of all, he was extremely proud. Communism was already kind of an in thing in the college scene. You know, there had been the Paris Commune. There had been the French Revolution, which was really based on communist ideas. And we all saw how that turned out with, you know, mass murder through the guillotine. But he was entranced by it, and he became its best salesman. and of course the Communist Manifesto, who he wrote with his partner Friedrich Engels, outlined this plan to save the workers of the world, who he said would have nothing to lose but their chains. And instead, communism has enslaved half the world forever and committed atrocities, endless atrocities and mass murder. And the people who followed him were similar personality types. That's the thing that the key thing that people need to understand. This is a personality type. These people are astronomically proud. You can't tell them anything because they know everything already. And they have been spoon-fed this simplistic and really idiotic idea of communism as an economic system, as a way to cure the world's ills. Even at that time, it was criticized as ridiculous. But it's very easy to parrot it. It's very easy. You get along with your Marxist college professors and all your friends who have been captivated by it. If you go along with the crowd when you're in college, the media rewards that. And all this is because communists and people of similar mind, they used to call them fellow travelers, have infiltrated all the institutions of culture, especially Hollywood, the media, and the universities, but also the federal government, well, actually government at all levels. And so I felt really strongly the need to show how all this was connected, how all these people portaged this toxic ideology over the years, forward into the 21st century. And my book lays that out very plainly and very carefully. It's very, it's short. It's less than 150 pages, but it hits all the key radicals who brought these ideas forward. And many of them, even learned history people, professors, have never heard of. So you learn a lot about who he was, who his followers were, how they brought it forward, why they were motivated. And the biggest thing you have to understand about communism and communists is they are above all else, as I said, megalomaniacs. They have titanic egos. They think they know everything, but the big deal is that they think they're entitled to everything. And that means all your wealth and all the power that they can amass to rule essentially slave states. And if they win in the United States, the entire world will go that way.
And so we cannot let them win.
No, we cannot.
And thank you, Jim. I hope everybody understands the severity of this, but I also read that these guys who you were mentioning and of that time, they were all addicts. They were all hooked on something. Some were alcoholics, some were drug addicts. Heroin, I think, was the drug of choice at that time. But a lot of these idiotic, ridiculous, utopian plans that they had, they wrote under the influence thereof. So to even think that they have any possibility of success would be incredible.
Well,
did you ever hear that, Jim?
I know that Marx drank excessively. Engels was known as sort of a revolutionary party animal. He loved to eat lobster. He loved his drink, and he would have parties at his house that lasted way into the night. Let me see if I can get the exact quote here. Hold on. Recent biography describes Engels as a sort of revolutionary party animal. He enjoyed his drink, and his motto was "Take it easy." He was proud of his lobster salad, and he liked to fox hunt. He hosted regular Sunday parties for London's left-wing intelligentsia, and as one regular put it, no one left before 2 or 3 in the morning. So they were all, you know, party animals, really. Right. And the thing was, they wanted to have all of the wealth that would enable them to indulge to any length that they desired in whatever proclivities they enjoyed, you know. And in fact, if you recall, there was a Bulgarian artist who defected to Great Britain. And maybe Chris remembers his name. His name escapes me at present. But he began to expose how the leaders of Bulgaria would have these wild parties, and they were all living like gluttonous kings. And that was what he exposed about the leadership in the Bulgarian communists. And they sent an assassin who followed him over the London Bridge and poked him with a umbrella laced with ricin, which is deadly poisonous. Yes. And he died a couple of days later, a miserable, awful, painful death from being poisoned by ricin. But that was his big sin. You know, he didn't expose any deep, dark secrets about military or anything else. He just exposed them for who they were. There's another interesting story. A friend of mine who's very, very well-versed in the Soviet Union, he actually has contacts there from the former KGB folks and people like that. And he says, you know, Alexander Litvinenko was another KGB. He was a KGB guy who defected to Great Britain. And in 2006, he was poisoned by the KGB with polonium-210, radioactive. It killed him. And he had written a book called Allegations, where he alleged that, among other things, Osama bin Laden was a Ayman al-Zawahiri, the second in command at the time of al-Qaeda, was actually a Soviet agent. And so that was a big deal. But my friend said another thing that he talked up was that Vladimir Putin is homosexual. And nobody, he didn't want to hear that. And he says a lot of these sources in Russia claim that that was what got him killed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now there's always, the minute you become a public figure, there's going to be something about you. But this is a perfect example, folks. These people don't care about you. They don't care about America. They have houses all over the world. That's what they do. They live off of us. They're parasites. And they are intent on, as they say, killing the goose that laid the golden egg, because they're going to be killing us as they're trying to eat us. Not a very pretty thing to be in that position. So we have to not be in that position. Right. And with the help of Jim's books and understanding who these people are, it makes it easier to see the stupidity that they are leading us to and what their intent really is, which is to destroy America. When they said level the playing field, they didn't mean we're going to bring the rest of the world up to American standards. No. They meant we're going to bring America down to third world standards. That's because we would expect more from our government, and Americans have rights, and those rights are granted by God, our creator, not the Kremlin or the UN or China or anybody else. God said, you have these rights.
Yep.
And nobody's going to take them away unless we're stupid and we give them to them, which is what we have been doing.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Well, but honestly, it's mostly without our knowing it. Of course, you know, when you come to the political level, Some politicians were aware of those things, but the ones that actually tried to do anything, and even though he's an unpopular figure in history, Joseph McCarthy actually identified practically every person he named, turns out to have been a communist. He was vilified by the U.S. Congress for doing that in the 50s. So even then, most of the people in the U.S. Congress were aware of what was going on, and they were either afraid to say anything, or a lot of them were already had switched sides and were working for the other side. You know, there was another bunch of hearings on foundations in the United States, and the member of Congress who held those hearings, that who exposed how the left, the radical left, had infiltrated and taken over many of the large foundations, like, for example, the Ford Foundation, right, and many other ones, Rockefeller Foundation. That guy was shamed, silenced, vilified. I mean, the cancel culture was operative in the 1950s. Okay.
Oh, yes. Just
wasn't as effective as it is now. You know, they found people like McCarthy and this other congressman, I can't remember his name, and they just basically did everything but kill them. And so that lesson made a lot of people gun shy about even using the C word. And up to this day, you know, if I go on a mainstream radio show or something, people they quail if you say communism or communists. But that's what we're dealing with. And communism, people need to understand that you know, the ideology of Marx is the window dressing. It's the sales pitch. It has nothing to do with the reality. The reality is that communists are a bunch of people. You mentioned parasites. I have a chapter in my book called Entrepreneurial Parasites. It's exactly what they are. They have decided nothing else matters in life except for them to get as much power and as wealth as they possibly can. And communism has provided some diabolically effective strategies for them to seize and hold power. And even that's not a new idea.
No, it is not. And folks, do not go away. Do not touch anything. Just sit and listen. And we will be right back. You are listening to Karen Schoen. This is the Prism of America's Education with Chris Wright, who has been very quiet, Chris. We have to hear from you. And Jim Simpson, who has been sharing a wealth of information. And you'll want to hear more, so don't go away.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education. And my guests this beautiful day are Chris Wright and Jim Simpson. And we've been having an incredible conversation about really the past and how it has really morphed into the present. And we are suffering right now from the lack of morality of the leaders of the pack, who just seem to feel that everything belongs to them. It's like what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine too. And the world does not work that way. One thing we do have to remember, as Jim said, this is all about money, power, and control. It has nothing to do with I'm going to be good and we're going to erase poverty and we're going to do all of these wonderful things and we're going to have clean water and clean air and blah, blah, blah. How many trillions of dollars have we given to the United Nations over the years? Why do we still have poverty? Isn't that amazing? Because they want poverty, folks.
Right.
They want us to be in poverty. They thrive when we are in chaos. And they do a very interesting thing, which is something I wanted to ask you, Jim, what you thought about this. And Chris, every time the middle class begins to achieve wealth, we have some kind of bubble, which then undercuts everybody's wealth. All of the money that people put in their homes gets sucked away as the homes now go into foreclosure because whatever bubble burst. And this is something that is repeated on a continual basis. And all it does is suck the money out of the middle class and put it in the pocket of the people who already have all the money. So that's why I said this is about money, power, and control. And what do you think, Jim? Is that bubble theory?
Well, in some regards, I mean, we're kind of on a dual track. You know, we have a quasi free market capitalist economy, although it is more and more being put into the grips of government, which, you know, there's only one kind of economy in reality. There is a free market economy. And what comes out is dependent upon how much government control imposes on that free market. So in the communist system, government control basically takes over all of it. You still have free market motives. You still have free market incentives, but they're all perverted because of the way the government controls it and channels money. So for example, in the Soviet Union, the only way to really get food, gasoline, and things like that was through the black market. And the black market was basically a free market that was illegal. But guess who ran the black market? The KGB ran it.
I didn't say the government.
The KGB ran the black market, and it enabled people to squeak by while the politicians presented the communist market as the thing that was providing whatever goods when it really wasn't. It was the black market working behind the scenes. And the advantage with the KGB running it is they could control it, shut it down, whatever they wanted. They could identify whatever people they needed to identify. And when the Soviet Union, quote unquote, fell, those KGB guys running the black market suddenly, I mean, almost magically, wasn't it, Chris? Like in 1991, we had the collapse of the Soviet Union. And within 6 months, there were multi-billionaire oligarchs Where the heck did they come from? How did they suddenly just pop up out of nowhere? Well, they didn't. They were the people who were running things before, but now they switched hats and became oligarchs to show how bad greedy capitalism was. See? And so the whole thing, the whole thing is a put on. The whole thing is a show. And anyway, but in the United States, so we have this, you know, essentially functioning economy that the government comes in and messes up in healthcare. They've messed it up enormously in finance. The left began to penetrate Wall Street in the 90s. You know, it was partially just a fact of college kids growing up and getting jobs in Wall Street, but it was also, I think, a design, a targeted takeover, so that they would be in charge of Wall Street. And in the 1990s, we had the Clinton administration promote subprime mortgages. Now, that was, and I have a whole chapter about this in the book, that was a very sophisticated Cloward-Piven strategy of manufactured crisis. They deliberately pumped up the subprime mortgage market with millions and millions of subprime mortgages that they knew, where they knew the people who had those mortgages couldn't afford them. But the demand, this inflated demand created by the government, when the government-sponsored enterprises called Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, agreed to underwrite the risk of $3 trillion of FHA, you know, of mortgages. They basically told the banks, go to town. We don't care if you have no standards on your mortgages. We will guarantee those mortgages. So they inflated the mortgage market, they inflated the housing market, and it skyrocketed, of course. You know, we all remember how the housing prices just went through the roof right up until 2008, when it all just collapsed. It was a deliberate sabotage of our economy.
It certainly was. Yeah. And
a lot of people just lost their shirts, as you say.
Yes. Do you remember also Clinton at that time, his pardon gift to America was to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act. And that allowed the banks to, because I was a mortgage banker at that time, mm-hmm. and that allowed the banks to underwrite not only the mortgage, they could have a real estate company, they could have insurance company, they could have a title company, have surveyors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that everything was done in-house. Mm-hmm. They squeezed out the mortgage brokers, and this was the beginning of sending the jobs overseas. It wasn't so much that the people couldn't afford the mortgages. Well, it was that they sent their jobs overseas, so they had no way to pay the mortgages. This was a totally designed package. Here, we're going to give you a house. A couple of years, you fix it up, you spend your house fortune on it. And you got next day, you come to work, and the boss says, by the way, you're going to train the Indian guy down the block. He's going to come in, and he's going to sit next to you because we're going to pay him half of what we're paying you.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, all that kind of stuff conflated and helped to, make things worse. But I take issue with the Glass-Steagall Act. It's not the fact that they got rid of that regulation. It's the fact that they underwrote all the risk. Banks, all mortgage companies, insurance companies, they all run on, they all calculate risks, and they're very responsible when they know that they have to bear the consequences of taking bad risks. But the government came in and told them there will be no consequences. And this wasn't the first time they did that. This also happened during the savings and loan collapse. Yes. The exact same thing. Savings and loans were restricted by an FDR regulation to offering 5% on, you know, bank accounts, and they could only loan mortgages. So that's a illiquid asset and liquid liabilities. Okay, and so when the 70s, the interest rates started going up, the money market companies, all kinds of new companies came in to take advantage of that. And the savings and loans were going down the toilet in a hurry. So Congress, abolished that. But at the same time, and this was not publicized, but I was in college at the time, but I knew about it. They basically said behind closed doors, don't worry. If you gamble, if you take too many risks, we'll underwrite those risks. So what happened in a lot of the savings and loans bank? Well, for one thing, the mafia came in. Mm-hmm. The mafia came in and started risking everything to make as much money as they could, knowing that they had already been told that it would be guaranteed.
Well, they did the same thing with the colleges when they got rid of Sallie Mae. And they said, we will underwrite the, we will make sure that the, you know, the tuition is paid, blah, blah, blah. So what happens? The tuition has gone up, what, 50%, 100%?
Through the roof. Yep. Student loans have ballooned to, you know, astronomical levels. Yeah. And exactly.
It's all, as you said, the same program, program. Anyway, Chris, you have been so quiet. What do you think we are going to be facing, Chris?
Well, I'd like to speak to the subject of morality, which you both have mentioned here earlier tonight. Okay. Jim mentioned that these people have big egos, megalomaniacal, and Karen, you mentioned their lack of morality. I would submit to you, they have a perfectly coherent morality. It's just the reverse of what it is for everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I did a series of articles with a former leftist who's in my Tea Party. He had worked for environmental groups on the left. He went and got himself a graduate degree, studied the American founding, and ended up on the right. And he joined my Tea Party and we did these articles. But the bottom line is the way these people think is they think they are creating heaven on earth, that their solutions will bring about paradise and utopia. So that if you're going to make an omelet, so what if you have to break a few eggs? Right. That's the famous saying. Right. So anything that they do is just fine. It's perfectly moral. In fact, if they lie, cheat, and steal, that's great as long as they're winning. So that's the morality. And this, to me, Mao Zedong capsulized all this in a quote I'd like to read to you. Let's see if I can find it here quickly. Yes, this is what he wrote. I do not agree with the view that to be moral, the motive of one's actions has to be benefiting others. People like me want to satisfy our hearts to the full. And in so doing, we automatically have the most valuable moral codes. Of course, there are people and objects in the world, but they are all there only for me. People like me only have a duty to ourselves. We have no duty to other people.
Mm.
Yes. Wow. Do they take that as an oath? Because that's what they're doing.
Well, you know, pretty soon, next thing you know, 35 to 60 million people, by various estimates, are dead at the hands of the Chinese Communist Party government.
Yep.
So when you've got this screwed up morality and the ends justify the means, and this is what happens, pretty soon 100 million people are dead. Now, George Orwell wrote a very interesting essay in which he pointed out that when people try to reach noble ends with scurrilous means, they never get there because they become so corrupted by the means that the noble ends just never materialize. So it's a perfectly coherent morality. It's just the reverse of what everybody thinks morality is.
Right. Yeah, that's why I call them entrepreneurial parasites.
Very good.
And I'll tell you something else. I call communism the evolutionary endpoint to human depravity. And it may be morality to them, but it is the evolutionary endpoint to human depravity. It's the lowest of the low. You can't go any lower.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So before we get to the end of the show, what can we do about it? Because we all know there's a problem. We now know what the problem is. We also should always remember that everything is connected. Nothing is random. Everything has a plan, which usually is part of Agenda 21. And all plans are based on lies. Remember those sentences, folks, because that will help you to understand what they're doing and why. And don't think of these people as Americans. They're not. They could care less about America. They only care about themselves. Right. And if they don't like America, they'll go into one of their 16 million other mansions and be very happy there. They don't care. They take their wealth with them, our wealth, as a matter of fact, because they have been stealing it for the last several hundred years. This is not a new thing. And that's why they don't teach history, because they don't want us to know that. What can we do? What would you suggest? Jim, I'll leave it. Start with you. What can we do?
I'm sorry. I kind of monopolized the time. I'd like to give Chris more time to speak. I will just say briefly that in my book, and I'll repeat the name, Who Was Karl Marx? The Men, the Motives, and the Menace Behind Today's Rampaging American Left, which made it to number 35 at Amazon in all books, by the way, a couple of weeks ago. It's tapered off in sales since then, but it's a very popular book. my largest chapter in this book is called Back from the Brink, A Comprehensive Plan to Save America. Now, I can't say that it has every idea ever considered, but it has quite a few of them. And I go through all the various issues that we have to deal with. Especially critical is voting and elections, but there are so many other issues that we need to confront, but there are suggestions for how we deal with practically every one of them. And most of the suggestions, I made it deliberately so that these were kinds of things that people could do without getting out of their, getting too far out of their zone of comfortability. Now, I mean, you know, we're looking around and seeing people coming to school boards by the droves to protest finally what schools have been doing to their children for decades, but it's really gotten really sick in recent years with, you know, the transgender agenda. You know, I looked it up here. One of the biggest drivers is an organization called SECUS, Sexual Education for Social Change. Yeah. And it works to create a world that ensures social justice is inclusive of sexual and reproductive rights. And I mean, this is just the whole radical left agenda rolled up into this public education program that is being widely adapted around the country by our public schools. And these are the things, there's social emotional learning, same thing. And people are finally realizing what's going on, and they're protesting, and it's good because we're seeing a lot of change. Chris pointed out recently about the victory in the Loudoun County schools, and I'll let him talk about that.
Okay, Chris, you're up.
Okay, well, the victory is that the National Association of School Boards apologize for the letter they cooked up with the White House and the Justice Department, which resulted in the memo coming from Attorney General Merrick Garland, sicking the FBI on parents who protest policies at school boards. And the National Association of School Boards said they were sorry, and that the language they used describing parents as domestic terrorists was that language was not justified. So that's the victory that we learned about over the weekend.
And we're getting a lot of victories in overthrowing school boards around the country. And so we have a confluence of things going on here. We have, we have the radical left going off the rails. And in fact, they've become our best salesmen because they are showing us exactly who they are. And people are horrified. And that is reflected in the most recent polling of Joe Biden, who I refuse to call president, by the way. But, you know, his poll numbers are plummeted. The thing that really strikes me is that his numbers are even as high as they are. You know, people have to be literally blind as bat or part of the agenda to not see how seriously destructive this man is and his agenda and the agenda of the left. But we can do all kinds of things to counteract that. And the biggest thing we can do, if we can keep our elections clean and elect enough good people to do so, is offer an alternative. And so, for example, we have in Florida, Governor DeSantis offering great alternatives to the kind of horrific leadership you have at the state and city level in New York, at the state and city level in California, in New Jersey, in Illinois, all over the place. People are just fed up. But it's great to be fed up, and you can go to the city hall and pound on the doors and get the mayor of city hall afraid of you. Do you think you're going to change one thing that she's doing? You won't, because these people are utterly committed to this radical agenda. So what do? You offer an alternative, and people are flooding to those alternatives.
Yes, they are. And unfortunately, I just happened to look at the clock, and I don't want to run out of time before people can find you. So, Jim, please tell everyone where they can find you. And then, Chris, some parting words.
Best place to go is my website, crisisnow.net, crisisnow.net. And there's a direct link to the Amazon page, my author page there, which has my book. And other books that I've written as well.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Jim, for joining me today. Chris, again, I know that you work with a tremendous amount of people who have come from this communist background. They know what is going on. So again, we're going to have you back, Chris. And where can everyone find you?
I think Chris.
Chris.
Grows up. Well, he has a website called Spider and the Fly, and it's really a great website.
Fabulous. And you should sign up for Chris's newsletters.
Yep, they're all free. He does amazing work. I mean, yes. And he's been at this, working hard at this for many years, and I've seen, you know, the work he does is astonishing. So go to spiderandthefly.com and subscribe to his newsletter. Learn more about him and learn all about things that are going on. He also has another website called Liberato.us. Liberato.us. And every day he puts up a column at Liberato, and they are priceless. I mean, they are priceless. They're fantastic every single day. And liberato.us.
And it is certainly worthwhile getting his newsletter.
Yep.
And getting involved with some of the things that he's doing, because Chris is a doer, and that's what we need to be, doers. This is not the time anymore where we get to sit back and do nothing. America doesn't work that way. We all have to participate. freedom is not free. Isn't that a surprise?
Yeah.
And it is at this time, you have to do soul searching, because I'm going to ask you all, is America worth saving? And if it is, what are you going to do about it? This is very important. You can't participate in something if you don't know how it works and you don't know what it is and you're not sure about it. The idea is to be sure. And by having Chris and Jim and listening to shows like this one and going to websites also, like the Florida Citizens Alliance, who are now involved in legislation. It's the season for legislators in Florida, and the committees are beginning to meet, and we want legislation tightening up some of the verbiage of last year's legislation and adding some new things, and the governor is calling back a special session. We work very closely with our legislators, and that is a position, a place where you want to be. Run for school board. There are tremendous doors that will open. Run for school board. But before you run for anything, be versed in the topic that you choose. And you don't have to choose all the topics. You just have to know and understand and be passionate about the ones that you feel passionate about. So to go to the school board and tell them that you are involved in the election is not going to make a difference. They're not interested in that. So you have to know your audience. You have to participate, and you have to go to county meetings and go to zoning meetings. And that's a whole other thing that we're going to be talking about, land and how they want to come and what they're going to do to zone us out of business. I want to thank you both, gentlemen. I appreciate it. It has been wonderful talking to both of you, and I'm going to ask you both to come back. So we will have to make that arrangement, Chris. And Jim, thank you all for listening. This is Karen Schoen. You have been listening to The Prism of America's Education. Please go to our website, FloridaCitizensAlliance.com. Go FLCA. Get involved. A new list of pornographic materials just came out. So this is up to us, folks. This one is on us. Remember, we got here because we didn't participate. I will not comply, and I don't think you should either. Pick a company and boycott it. And by all means, get off of Twitter and Facebook. Stop giving them our money, your money. Stop making them rich. That's all they care about. Have a wonderful week, folks. See you next time.
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America. Don't tread on me. I'm America. Yes, America.